Could you explain to me what this tax was and how it worked?
Well, in the Internal Revenue Code, the cabaret tax was a tax that initially was 30% of gross receipts on the money earned by cabarets, by venues. And in the Internal Revenue Code, there was really no definition of what a cabaret was. It was cabaret or roof garden were the two types of venues that were subject to the tax. And the Internal Revenue Code itself did not define either of those. They left it up to the IRS to draft regulations that sort of interpreted those two terms. And the IRS ended up interpreting particularly the term cabaret quite broadly to encompass sort of any music club where there was singing, dancing, and eating. If you had all of those things together, then you were subject to the tax. And, you know, it was quite a punitive tax. 30% of the gross receipts means that it became just, you know, non-economic for a lot of the clubs to continue to operate.
That was in 1944. What was the reason that this tax was enacted, do you think?
From what I can tell, it was adopted purely as a revenue raiser. It was a wartime effort, and this would be a nice little boost to get a little bit of additional money in. And it was, I believe that when it was adopted, it was supposed to be a temporary tax. It wasn't supposed to be the type of thing that was going to last for a really long time. You know, we see these things now, and a lot of times I think taxes are designed to, taxes of this nature, of the excise tax nature, are designed to raise some revenue and also change people's behavior. But at least in some of the digging around that I've seen, I didn't see anything that this was really designed to be a behavior-changing tax. It really was just sort of supposed to be a kicker to help out the economy and to get some money into the government.
Because I think at that time, big bands, even though it was the war, big bands were pretty popular, especially dance bands.
The idea was not to shut things down. It was to take advantage of something that was popular by using something that was popular as a source for revenue. You know, the same thing, I guess, in the context of recent proposals to have taxes on sugary beverages and on sodas and things like that. And I think now when you see cities particularly do that, I think they're trying to do two things. They're trying to sort of encourage behavior, but they're also trying to take advantage of something that's popular, that a lot of people are buying, and they know it's a way to raise revenue. I think that the cabaret tax was almost exclusively the latter. It was something that was really designed to say, hey, a lot of people are doing this. There's going to be a lot of revenue here, so if we tax it, we're going to get a little boost for the government.
Jazz people say that one of the things that happened with this is that it kind of led to the demise of the big bands, and instrumental music was exempt from the tax. Were there any exceptions, or how could you get around this?
There were some exceptions in that it had to be that the definition of cabaret included a venue where there was eating and also where there was live performances of music that had singing. And a lot of people came up with straightforward solutions to get around, just stop serving food. And then some people tried some more clever ways to get around it. I read one story where someone tried to serve food, make everybody leave the venue and then come back in for the music performance and things like that. Or they tried to, you know, draw up lines between the eating and the music performance. And I think some of those were seen as successful, some were not. And then there were even some performances I read about where they would have extremely elaborate lip syncing performances as opposed to actual live singing. And so the idea was, well, there's music, there's eating, but there's not actually live singing. There's just this performance that accompanies the music. So people tried to sort of squeeze in things that looked like a traditional cabaret while still fitting into some of the exceptions that might get the clubs themselves out of the tax.
And it was eventually eliminated, though. I mean, it hung around for a long time.
Right. I think it was about 15 years later that it was dropped from 30% to 20%. And then 1965, I believe, is when it was eliminated altogether. So it went from 30 to 20 to 10 and then was eliminated altogether. Hanging on there for 20 years or so was more than what was originally anticipated by Congress when they enacted it.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.